The Voice of Literacy podcast is sponsored by BlendedSchools.net. BlendedSchools.net is a not-for-profit corporation dedicated to providing robust, engaging online learning environments for school districts and their teachers, students, and communities. Find out more about BlendedSchools.net by visiting their website, www.blendedschools.net. This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Dr. Barbara Moss, Professor of Literacy Education at San Diego State University. She does research involving uses of informational texts in the classroom. Welcome, Dr. Moss.
Thank you.
First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in informational texts.
I've been in education a very long time, actually 37 years, and I began my career as a middle school teacher. And I worked with struggling readers during that time. And I found, even way back then, that many of my students were far more interested in reading about things in the real world, information-type texts, than stories. Many of my struggling readers were boys. Now, this isn't a phenomenon exclusive to males, because I've encountered many females who enjoy reading about information-type topics. But that actually spurred my interest way back then, before I even became a professor and started writing for professional publication and so on. And that, you know, little seed just sort of grew, and I've been writing and researching this topic for about 20 years now.
Oh, it's a great topic. I'm one of those readers. I always wanted to go read the informational texts. I even had, I think my fourth grade teacher told me to stop doing that. So, but anyway, now that you've done this work in the Journal of Literacy Research, can you tell us, based on your expertise from this study, what would you tell a group of teachers about this topic?
One of the things that I can and do talk a lot about to teachers in my graduate classes and in staff development experiences is the importance of providing students with opportunities to read informational texts. In California, the basal readers are very influential, particularly in schools that are undergoing what they call program improvement. And in some classrooms, the exclusive form of text is the basal reader. And I think this is really unfortunate. Children need exposure, not just to informational texts, but a diversity of texts in the classroom. And I encourage teachers to supplement the texts found in the basal readers with additional informational texts. They can use these with students for independent reading. They can use them for guided reading. They can use them for shared reading. Students need more exposure to this text type than the basal reader will give them, and that's one of the things that my research found.
Can you break it down a little bit more for us? What do you mean by, what are types of informational texts?
As the article talks about, there are really a range of different kinds of informational texts. There's not just one type. There are some texts that are very much story-like. I think of a book for first graders called I Want to Be an Astronaut, a Member of the Crew. That's a more literary, narrative-type nonfiction. It's factual, but it's much more story-like. And we use those a lot with very young children. That's sort of one side of the continuum. Then sort of the polar opposite side of the continuum would be the type of informational text you find in your content area reading textbook or in an encyclopedia. A very sort of distant-sounding text with lots of technical vocabulary that has a different tone from the earlier example that I gave. Then there are all other kinds of texts along that continuum or, you know, beyond the continuum, I should say. For example, persuasive texts. They're factual, but they have a goal of persuading a reader of something. How-to texts. the steps in programming your VCR, for example, or whatever we use now. Those kinds of texts offer a sequential pattern, how to complete an experiment. That's yet another type of informational text. So I would argue that students need exposure to a range of these text types if they're going to be successful, not only on standardized tests, which are between 50 and 80% informational, but also in the workplace.
So it sounds like to me this has really strong implications for people who hold the purse strings. So for principals, policymakers, what would you tell them?
Absolutely. I really wish that policymakers would become more aware of the need for these text types to not only appear in Basel readers, but that they provide funding for providing them in classrooms. I really feel that policymakers believe that by mandating a certain Basel reader, at least in California this is particularly true, but in many other states that are very Basel reader driven, they believe that by mandating the text types found in the Basel reader, student achievement will increase. But we're really neglecting a key text type when we limit students just to the Basel reader. And I'm not trying to diss Basel readers. I think they've actually improved quite a bit, and there's actually more informational text than there used to be. I'm just making the point for diversity of text. And I would include in that, I mostly have talked about children's literature or nonfiction trade books, but that also should include articles from the Internet, mm-hmm. newspaper articles, primary source documents. A diversity of texts, a range of texts, is important for students at every grade level.
And so maybe parents can chime in with this. What would you recommend to parents, things they could be doing at home with these kinds of texts?
Absolutely. I think even, you know, when you look at the kinds of books preschoolers read, very often they're about their information-type texts, couched in language that young children can enjoy, books about trucks, books about children's clothes, books about babies, books about many of these books. They call them concept books, typically, at that for the younger children. I would greatly encourage parents to read these kinds of books aloud to their very young children and make sure that their children get opportunities to read information books about things that interest them. Long ago, I had a wonderful professor in my master's program at Kent State University, Carl Rosen, who's now retired. And Carl said something that's always stuck with me. He said that children's curiosity is a constant. No matter, you know, where children live or what socioeconomic status they come from, children retain that curiosity. And if you can find the particular thing in this sort of world that they're interested in, you can tap into that. So if a child is interested in rocks and, geology and so on, you can find an information book that the student might want to read that's related to that topic.
And like you say, with all the information on the Internet and all that now, it's also even more available.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Look at the National Geographic website, for mm-hmm. example. Children can read about animals that interest them and Antarctica. I mean, so many different topics with so much information available. We all find motivating children in classrooms a challenge. And by tapping into these interests and giving them the opportunity, you know, people will say, well, children don't want to read. But I continue to believe that if we can tap into students' interests, we can get them to read about whatever topic it happens to be. Cooking. You know, some children are interested in crafts. So linking those interests with texts that help to further those interests, I think, can be a powerful combination.
So what do you see as our next step? What do we still need to find out about informational texts and research that needs to be done and ways that this information can really be used by teachers and parents and policymakers?
There are lots of things. One thing we know very little about is how much information text is the optimal amount in a classroom. Michael Camille from Stanford has done some work in a first grade classroom where they did 50% information text, 50% narrative text, and they found that the students didn't suffer from that sort of balance. Others have other recommendations for the amount of information text that we should find in the primary classroom. Generally, we think of the upper intermediate grades as engaging students with more information text in the form of their textbooks, but oftentimes those textbooks are so difficult that teachers find them to be a challenge, so that's the place where we can bring in these other types of texts that I've mentioned. Another area that I'm interested in right now that I'm looking at is how much information text are teachers using in their classrooms? And I have an online survey that I've posted a number of times to various listservs, and I have about 250 responses to that study examining the types of texts that teachers are using and their reasons for using them and for not using them.
Sounds like a wonderful research, and we look forward to learning more about what you're investigating. Dr. Barbara Moss, Professor of Literacy Education at San Diego State University, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Moss's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 40, Issue 2. Go to our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Moss. You can also join our online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. We invite you to peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, as well as pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.